Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today by way of radio. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Let me just remind you up front, you can join in the dialogue and discussion as we have the issue today that we're going to be dealing with simply by dialing 401-1413. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-401-1413. Get you straight through to the studio and right to the microphones so that we can have a discussion together. We're going to be talking about today culture in the churches. Culture in the churches, or subtitle, if you will, churches closing. We'll talk about that in a moment. But before we get into my monologue and then deeper discussion today, we're going to be talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the Bible professors in Conservative Theological University. We'll be talking with him and having dialogue and discussion along with you, our listening audience, in relationship to this subject today. What is the cause? What is the cure? What can we do about it? And what do we see taking place in our nation along that line? But ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues, let me remind us we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of denominational dogma. It's not a matter of ideological, philosophical rites and rituals and rules and regulations. Or as I put it, somebody with a little hobby horse. That's not the focus of Let's Face the Issues. We face the issues based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus himself, speaking of the word of God, said, "Thy word is truth." And so, Dr. Phelps, as we face issues each day, as you know, and I'm prayerful that most of our listeners know, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an article that I just want to share briefly. It's a massive article, but I want to just give you the brief highlights of it that points out my concern in this broadcast today. And as a result of that concern, we're going to be talking about what is the cure, what is the answer for the culture in the churches, and as a result of that, the closing of so many churches across America. Here's an article that says, "Losing Faith, Why South Carolina is Abandoning Its Churches." South Carolina churches are shedding thousands of members every year, even as the state's population grows by tens of thousands. In the place we call the Bible Belt, where generations have hung their hats on their church-going nature and faithful traditions, an increasing trend of shrinking church attendance and increasing church closings signals a fundamental cultural shift in the state of South Carolina. Further in the article, it says, "Many churches are dying a slow death, stuck in stagnation and in decline." Further, the massive article says, "At the same time, some churches are growing, and some growing quickly, but they might not look much like the churches your grandparents and even their grandparents and so on were raised in. From meeting in unconventional places to tweaking their traditions, many churches are adapting, offering something different that many people thought the churches could do for them," end quote. What they're doing reflects the result, this article says, of an ongoing conversation among churches. And that question is, how can a church stay alive? Dr. Phelps, we're going to talk about that in a minute that I think is very, very needful for our listeners to understand. This article says, quote, "I miss the days when church and Sunday were so important. The world stopped so that we could focus on our faith. Watson said from the pulpit, he's one of the pastors, Sunday mornings still matter. He told the flock, but how the church treats people and helps people in need, listen, is more important than all, end quote. You get the focus of what he's saying. Dr. Phelps, what this preacher just said in a very succinct fashion is the social gospel, that we need to feed the people physically and not be concerned about the culture coming into the church and not be concerned about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say the church simply doesn't know how to grow these days, though not for the lack of hoping to. We're open. We're friendly. But we do have an old-time service, said Mary Ann, do not have an old-time service, Mary Sprangler said, a member of 30 years. But the big problem is how do you get people into the door and then how do you keep them in the church? I made a little marginal note on this article. My answer is they must be saved first, and then there's a hunger for the word. After salvation, there's a desire to know the word. Further, the article says, and I'll stop with the reading of it. It's a massive, fascinating article. The article further says, the South is slowly catching up to the national and European trends, shifting toward what many call a post-Christian, postmodern culture. That is a society with characteristics that no longer dominated are rooted in Christianity. Studies and surveys have documented the decline of the self-identified Christians and the rise of the nuns, that is N-O-N-E-S, no religion at all, or the religiously unaffiliated across America for many years. The Pew Research Center describes the United States as being in the midst of a significant religious change. The share of Americans who identify with Christianity is absolutely declining, while those who say they have no religion at all is growing rapidly. End quote. I simply made a little marginal note on that. We're in a post-Christian era. We're living in a society that is generally lost. In fact, you can go to the UK. And you discover that 98% of those in the UK today say they do not identify with or affiliate with any church or any denomination whatsoever. That means only 2% in Europe identify with the church or affiliate with it in any fashion at all. Dr. Phelps, I believe the fundamental problem can be traced back to the pulpits. What are your thoughts on what we just shared that our listeners might understand and have a little thought or a little something to hang on to as to what we could point to as the problem, and then we'll talk about the cure a little later in this broadcast.
Dr. Youngblood, one of the things I'm concerned about is what is being preached from our pulpits today. In 1 Timothy 3:15, the Bible tells us these words, Paul writing to the young Timothy and instructing him about how to manage the church. He says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And one of the great things I learned from that is he's telling us that the church ought to be a center for hearing the truth of the gospel.
That is the fact. In fact, I have in my hands, and perhaps if you've listened on a regular basis to this broadcast, I've referred to this fact many times. But Dr. Phelps, for the benefit of our listeners, I'm going to share this thought again. Reverend Charles Finney was an evangelist from Great Britain. His life was 1792 to 1875. And in the early 1800s, he wrote a document called The Decay of Conscience. And he said the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press likes moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, then the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundation of our government is ready to fall, the pulpit is responsible for it. I don't know how I could say it any more clearly, ladies and gentlemen, as Dr. Phelps just made mention that so much of what is being taught and preached today in our pulpits is not from biblical authority. It is the, as I call it, if you can just pardon my expression, the loosey-goosey, feel-good, cotton-candy theology. And I've started calling it recently the goosebump, not just the goosebump, the cotton-candy theology, but voodoo theology. Dr. Phelps, I'm saddened by that statistical material that I just read about South Carolina. And the same that was stated about South Carolina, I believe could be replicated state after state after state across America today. I believe the factor is that there's a lack, L-A-C-K, ladies and gentlemen, of academic biblical training produced and provided in our homes and in our schools. This is the reason, Dr. Phelps, I get excited about the fact that Governor Bevin, that's Matt Bevin of the state of Kentucky. Governor Bevin just last month signed into law a bill that requires every school in the state of Kentucky to offer courses and classes in Bible. It is one that is an elective. You're not forced to do it. But in every discipline, whether it's in science, whether it's in history or math or social studies or civics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there's an opportunity to do an elective. And under the new law in the state of Kentucky allows the student, I'm sure being guided by a parent, student to sign up to take an elective, and that is the study in Bible. And it's my prayer that we'll see this take place in the state of Florida. There are about five states, ladies and gentlemen, that already have bills introduced and are working on legislation that would allow Bible to be taught in the classrooms. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have been deceived since 1963 when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Bible cannot be mandated and required or taught from the teacher and the students requiring to memorize Scripture. But a parenthetical footnote in that ruling was very, very clear, and I'll just loosely quote it, not verbatim, but they said that in no way should that be considered that the Bible is disallowed, disavowed, or outlawed in the classroom. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to see that. And I just discovered this past week that there's an organization right here operating in the state of Florida and some here in Jacksonville pushing to get the same type of legislation passed in Tallahassee. In fact, I've talked with a number of legislators, both in the House and the Senate, and I'll be interviewing several of those legislators. It's up for re-election in the next several days before the August the 28th primary. And each one of them, I'm asking the question, will you make a commitment to the listeners to sponsor and or to co-sponsor a bill that would allow Bible to be taught as an elective in our public schools in the state of Florida? Here's an article that I want you to listen to, ladies and gentlemen, because you're invited to attend. It's not something that I'm doing, but I'm announcing it on behalf of the participants. It is called Educators for Life. That is educators in the letter 4 and then L-I-F-E, Educators for Life. And they're having a meeting on Saturday morning, that's tomorrow morning, at 10 o'clock at the Wells Fargo building on Main Street right downtown Jacksonville. Brother Don Redmond, that is running for city council in Group 4 at large, Don Redmond will be one of the speakers, and I'm delighted to find Educators for Life, which is moving across the state of Florida, trying to convince our legislators that we ought to participate in something very much like the state of Kentucky is doing and other states, five of them. In fact, if you want to participate in that program, that it's an open dialogue tomorrow. It is an open discussion called Civil and Cultural Engagement. It is a dialogue in the community, as they subtitle it. And it's at 10 o'clock in the morning, the Wells Fargo building. It is put on by the Educators for Life, 1601 North Main Street. A telephone number that you can call and talk directly to them is 533-5222. That is 904-533-5222. And may I encourage you to participate? I'm excited about what this organization is doing. And one day in the near future, we'll be interviewing the participants and the movers and shakers in that organization on this broadcast so that you can hear more about it. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I'm trying to make in the dialogue and discussion on that is that there's a great need for there to be education in the Bible. for people to understand what the Bible says. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the problem that's being faced in South Carolina, in the state of Florida, and each of the other states, is that the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, are basically illiterate of biblical truth. And they make up a lot of what is called church growth today in the rock and roll churches, where so often the denominations have swayed to culture and allowed the culture to come in and control the church with sodomite pastors and sodomite leadership, ordaining sodomites and having sodomite marriages. It is a major, what I call, tectonic shift in the culture that's bringing the culture into the churches. Dr. Phelps, you've heard my elongated monologue on this subject. There's a major problem with bringing the culture into the church and letting the culture run the church. And tell us what the Bible says. What is the church? Who is the church? What makes up the church? Is the church just a meeting place? It's just a social center where you have God talk? What is the church?
That's a good question. And one of the answers that I will give is we can find the answer, of course, in the Word of God. We need the truth concerning the church. And as we said earlier, the church is the place where you can find the truth.
That's right.
That works both ways. But the world organizations are founded by men and funded by money. But the church is founded by Jesus Christ and is formed of true believers.
Amen.
We believe that we need the emphasis upon what the church is really about. What is the church? Well, the church identifies those who are called out of the world by the gospel of Christ to a new fellowship with God. The church is a called out assembly. We're called by the gospel with a heavenly and a holy calling. We're called out of delusion to the truth. For example, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Many people are in delusion. They do not know the truth, and of course that goes back to the pulpits of our churches today, and it's not being proclaimed from the pulpits. We need the preaching of the gospel of Christ in order to bring people out of delusion unto the truth.
Yes. In fact, Dr. Phelps, what I find so often, and more often than not in the 21st century culture that we're in, which is a postmodern, post-Christian culture, is that there's somehow, some way, we have a whole generation today that make up many of the audiences and the congregations as well as the leadership that believe that somehow, some way, the church is designed simply to provide food, clothing, and shelter for society. And there's a mindset, ladies and gentlemen, where the church has the idea that somehow, some way, we're not to offend the culture. And yet, Dr. Phelps says, I find the study of the Scripture, just the Scripture itself, the Word of God itself, the Bible itself, the cross itself, the name of Jesus itself, is an offense to the world.
Yes, sir, you're right about that. And I'm so thankful that we can know today that if we are preaching the truth in our churches today, people will be called out and to a holy and godly life. We need to be called out of darkness to light. I remember in my particular case, as a young man, about the age of 18, I thought I was good as my neighbor, good as my fellows, my buddies. But I didn't realize that I was in darkness. I had not had the light of the gospel of Christ to shine in my heart. And when I was saved that evening many years ago, I remember that the gospel penetrated my heart. It was as though someone turned the light on inside. And I was brought out of darkness into His marvelous light.
And as a result of that, you wanted to know the Word. You wanted to know what God's Word says. Ladies and gentlemen, this is, we're talking about today the fact that culture has been brought into the church, and the cure for that cultural revolution within the church is the understanding and the knowledge of the Word of God. Dr. Phelps, that brings me to the point that next weekend, next Saturday and Friday and Saturday, you'll be teaching a seminar Friday night and Saturday. Your seminar is on Walk Through the Bible. Tell our listeners something about Walk Through the Bible. Who can attend? What will be taught? What they will learn? And why is it so important that people come to this seminar? Ladies and gentlemen, the seminar is being sponsored by Conservative Theological University, and it will be 6:30 to 9:30 on Friday evening, this next Friday, and 9 o'clock till approximately 3 on Saturday. We'll provide a light lunch on campus in the lunchroom here in the fellowship hall, and you'll have the privilege of studying, and Dr. Phelps will be teaching the course. So, Dr. Phelps, challenge our listeners to call, enroll, or enroll at the door, but by all means, they need to be a participant in this very, 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 very informative, needful seminar. Tell them about the seminar, who can attend, what they'll learn, and why is it important?
Now, anyone can attend. If you're a church member, if you are a member of a church, or if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you are someone who really wants to grow spiritually, you want to know what the Bible is all about, then this is a course that's designed for you. If you have a hunger for knowing the truth, if you want to become more involved in the ministry of the Word of God, you need this course. See, what we're going to do is we're going to walk through the Bible, and we're going to show that the Bible is more than just a book where we keep mom's marriage license, my baby hair that was cut, a curl for my hair, or Aunt Lucy's old relics that she wanted to keep there. No, the Bible is a book of truth, and we believe that the Scriptures have one great theme. The unifying theme of the Scriptures is God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, and that's what we would want you to participate in, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, very interesting topics. I have a few comments, and then maybe you can comment on them. Actually, is it not a fact that there's only one true church, the called out one, the ones, the holy ones, the ecclesia? And actually, when we see signs stating First Baptist Church and this church in Methodist, actually, and we use the term plural churches, that's an error, is it not? If we really want to be technical, and we like to try to get to the actual meaning of words, that's why we study the Koine Greek and the Biblical Hebrew, wouldn't you say that where the called out ones can meet actually anywhere? Now, we do it in church in buildings. But instead of saying First Baptist Church, wouldn't it be more correct to say just First Baptist? I mean, even the label Baptist really isn't a scriptural term as far as naming. The churches in Revelation, they were written to assemblies. And just comment on that, if you may.
Wonderful. Very good question. Thank you for your question and comment on that. Let me comment further on that. Two things. Number one, you're right on the term. We have the Church Universal, which the Church Universal is made up globally of everyone that's blood-bought, born again, Bible saved, that said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But then we have the church local, and the church local is made up of those that are the called out ones, the ecclesia, the congregation, those that are surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And it's not just denominational dogma. In fact, I've said so many times down through the past 55 plus years that when we get to heaven, there'll not be a little cubicle there that says Baptist or Methodist, Presbyterian, or any other ism or schism. We'll be there because we're saved, or we won't be there at all. One of the things that I think, though, is vital and necessary, when you see in the Scripture where Jesus said, I hear my sheep hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me, it is necessary for a church to be organized to the point, biblically, that we're organized according to the Scripture, that you have an under-shepherd that leads, and that shepherd can only lead those that he knows is part of the flock that's in the body of Christ in that local assembly. You see, the local assembly is what is quantified and qualified and called in the New Testament. Though when we talk about the church globally, the church universal, it's everyone that's saved. And I'm in agreement with the fact many times denominational titles and denominational dogma prevents a person from being all that Christ would have us to be. But just as you drive down the highways on vacation and you see the golden arches, you know what's going to be served there. You know the quality of it or the lack of the quality of it. When you see the big crown and it's the Burger King, you know what's served behind those doors. When you see the sign that says Baptist, historically speaking, you know what is served there. Unfortunately, we're living in a society today where there's all kinds of isms and schisms going on under the banner of what historically was that which was viewed as being denominationally, doctrinally pure and sound theologically. So, yes, that is correct. And I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will understand there's a need to be involved in the local New Testament church. Sure, we can meet as a church any place, but in doing so, many times people in modern 21st century America taking themselves out from under the authority of the shepherd. And the shepherd is the one that is responsible, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, of preaching the word, of leading the congregation, and allowing them to follow the shepherd. Dr. Phelps, let's wrap up. We've got a couple, 2 or 3 minutes on the broadcast. Let's talk further about your seminar and the need for people to get involved and enroll for next Friday and Saturday.
I'm hoping that we can have many people purpose and plan, put on your calendar to be here next Friday evening. We'll have a little time to meet together from about 6:30 until 9 o'clock next Friday. And then we'll come back here at 9 o'clock and have another session or two, and then have some lunch, and then continue in the afternoon as we talk about the great theme of the Scriptures. We believe that it is so important that we know what the Bible is all about. We believe that God has given us a book about His Son so that we can know the truth about His Son, become a believer, and become the sons of God. We're going to be talking about the divine plan of redemption and how it unfolds throughout all of the Scripture. And we're going to discuss the complete story of the promised Messiah and how that God has fulfilled that, completed that great plan, and share that with others to cause us to become then biblically sound so that we can be witnesses for God.
It is a plan in this seminar, ladies and gentlemen, designed to educate, to inspire, and to give you information that should be born out of the heart that you will be able to impact the lives of others with what you learn. That's 6:30 to 9:30 on the 17th of August, that is next Friday, 9 until approximately 3 o'clock on the 18th. We will provide a luncheon. You get with this seminar the lecture, the textbook, the syllabi, and the privilege of participating in it. If you're a pastor, associate pastor, Christian educator, if you're a counselor, if you're simply a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, or you're saved and you want to know the Word of God better, Dr. Phelps is a professional at teaching it because it teaches the Word of God from the heart and based on the authority of the Scripture. We're going to provide all of that. There's a low cost of $99, and you can enroll, register for it at the door, or you can call 904-262-8275, 262-8275, leave your contact information so someone can call you and get you enrolled by telephone, or you can go online to info@conservative.edu. That's I-N-F-O at conservative.edu. Leave your name, telephone number, email address, contact information so someone can reach you and to get you enrolled. We're looking forward to having you with us for the seminar that is Walk Through the Bible next Friday and Saturday. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this dialogue and discussion today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air next time as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.